Hi, hello, and welcome. I'm Larson Montero, host of this exclusive show, Inspirator. Be inspired, be inspiring. Inspirator is an exclusive initiative by Inspiron Toastmasters Club, a show with a vision to inspire, rekindle, and regenerate a leader and a speaker in you. Today, we have among us with a special guest who is currently the director of the Spreadhead Media Private Limited, a media company that owns and runs media brands like newskarnataka.com, newskannada.com. He is an alumnus of Roshni Nilaya and has 35 years of local and international HR and general management experience. Journalism, poetry, and feature writing is a passion which he is now able to pursue at will. Additionally, he loves comparing and hosting talk shows. It's all in a day's work for him. He loves learning and imparting leadership facilitation and soft skill training to postgraduate students and corporate in Mangalore and Bangalore. He is an accomplished Toastmaster and the aegis of Toastmaster organization, and he is a designated distinguished Toastmaster. For this short introduction, I welcome with an open heart to Brian Fernandez to this show of Inspirator. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Larson. And I understand the show is about the written word, so I think you better put that in writing.
Yeah. I will definitely. So, Brian, to start with, let us keep it very casual and to have it, where did the passion to write start from? Or was it your cup? Or was it taken as challenge? How did it all start about?
No, I think it started way back when I was a child. I was a voracious, actually it started with reading. I was a voracious reader right from Enid Blyton, which is everybody's favorite starting book. And then of course, Nancy Drew, The Secret Seven, and James Hadley Chase, which is my favorite author, Agatha Christie, Edgar Wallace, Perry Mason, all of them I used to, because there was no other entertainment in those days. I mean, in the sense that you didn't have TV. I mean, in your generation, maybe you had, but in our generation, we didn't have actually TV. We didn't have a mobile phone.
Yes.
So the only other option is either playing outdoor games, which I was also doing. But when I was home, basically I used to love to read. And there was a library in the vicinity and I used to be a regular visitor there. I can't remember the exact name. New Era was one and the Standard Library was another, where I used to borrow books and keep reading. And from reading, the way they used to express themselves, the way they used to paint a picture of what they wanted to convey, I think that intrigued me the most. And I tried my hand a little bit about, for poetry and things like that. And then a little fiction. There was a magazine called Mangalore. I think it still exists today. It's from that CASC, that is the Catholic Association of South Canada. I started writing for them regularly, and it just picked up from there, and it was always a passion. In between I was working, so I stopped writing, but now I'm back to it.
Okay, so was there any challenge in writing, or when you shifted to from reading to writing, or was it easy as a piece of cake?
The cake has to be made, you know. have you ever tried baking a cake?
No, I have not, but
I have.
I have not.
Yeah, you should try baking a cake, because a piece of cake is nice to eat, but
yes.
a lot of effort goes into it.
Yes.
And basically, you've got to keep thinking all the time and then writing. But when you read a lot, your imagination expands, your horizons expand, and you don't necessarily stay within the boundaries of your geography. There are two things here I'd like to mention. One is you should read in multiple languages. Of course, I can't. It's my misfortune. But if you can read in multiple languages, you must. Because your horizons expand beyond your geography.
Yes.
You understand other cultures, the way other people think, irrespective of caste, color, creed, or whatever. And all of those, you know, what you read about other cultures and all, they come back to you in the form of your writing when you start to write. And writing actually is not difficult if you read a lot. Reading is the cornerstone of writing.
So to dive into first, how important is reading skill to everyone in general? Or why one must give importance to writing through, or we have to communicate through writing more, or we have to give emphasis on writing than oral?
Okay, let me just take you back a little. Are you married, Dilasan?
No, I'm not. I'm still single, happy single.
Okay. Maybe you have nieces and nephews you have seen?
Yes.
Growing up? Yes. Okay. So how does a baby learn to talk?
It looks at the others.
Yeah, it listens. It listens to the parents talk. It listens to people around him or her talk. And when they listen, they start to repeat what they have listened to, right?
Yes.
Then the spoken language is symbolically put in print, which then the child learns to read and relate to what he has listened to. And then comes writing. Finally, the child itself reproduces these symbols on paper. This is actually the genesis of the language skill. And now there are so many languages, so many dialects, but it all starts with the child listening to its parents or whoever is close to it or nurturing it talk in the beginning. So whatever language they are speaking, it picks up. That's why they call it the mother tongue, but probably because the father doesn't talk too much. But now coming back to your question.
Yes.
Why should the written word be more powerful than the oral? Or is it more powerful? In my personal opinion, it is very powerful. Okay. Much more than the oral. You see, in the olden days, you didn't have Zoom recordings.
Yes.
You didn't even have recordings.
Definitely.
Once you speak to somebody, it's gone. You speak on the telephone, unless they're recording it, it's you may forget about it after 5 minutes, but when it's the written word, it's permanent. And when you read, it sinks in, because you might read slowly, some read fast. I generally read fast, but either way it sinks in. Now if you are studying and if you are reading your textbook,
yes,
it sinks in. You're listening to the lecture, once you're out of the class, it's gone. But then you come back home and you open your textbook and you read, and then it starts thinking. The thing with the written word is you can reread it and reflect upon it.
Okay.
It's always there. It's always there with you. It's in the cupboard.
Yeah, we have to revisit it.
You can revisit it and you can reflect upon it. And when you reflect upon it a second time, your thoughts might not be the same as the first time.
Okay,
your interpretation may not be the same as the first time.
Yes.
Because
in
between, you have had a certain life experience which has changed the way you think. Quite possible. Now, it's also a more precise method of communication. Now, while I'm talking, I may say, Toastmasters. You may say, and all these things. Mm-hmm. But when you write, there is no R counter, there is no blockages. You have thought it over and then you're putting in writing. So you're more concise, more to the point, and delivering it straight across to the other person so that the message is understood at least by and large the same way as you put it across. Because ultimately communication is about getting your message across, but basically what you think, the other person should also think.
Yes.
And that's the most difficult part actually of communication. So the written word in that sense does make a difference. I just want to add to that. There's a poem that I wrote many years ago. And if you don't mind, can I?
Yeah, definitely. You can go out. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called The Written Word. So I'll just read it for you. The written word, the black on white, the contrast sans color, gives us so much more than pixels on a screen or a picture on paper. It cements, it separates the ties that bind. It documents, it explains the beasts of humankind. It provokes, it inspires the hate notes, the love lines. It creates, it fosters the fears, the minds. All the while, with the written word inside, a thought, a feeling, and for a while outside, a tear, a frown, a smile. For after all, with the written word, we have a family tree, a chance to be free, an atom bomb, and a shot at the honeycomb. If not for the written word, we'd have no history, and a question would remain, who are we? That's the importance. Thank you.
Okay, it was very, 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 it was, I had glued to that poem. Very nice. And it was, I think it was very long years you had written this.
Yeah, long back. Yes, yeah. It was very long.
So it's
just an example of what I used to write in the earlier days.
Yes. So if I start writing today and make it an effort to improve my writing each day by day, what would be the effect on my personal as well as my professional life? Like, does it have any effect or impact?
I don't know about the personal life. Personal life, you maybe get a lot of satisfaction when somebody reads what you've written. Okay. And tells you that they've read it. Whether they like it or not, that's a different issue. But at least if they've read it, there's a lot of personal satisfaction.
Okay.
As far as professional life is concerned, writing is a skill that's very important.
Yes.
Whether you're an engineer, whether you're a doctor, of course, a doctor, when you read his, you can't read his prescription, but that's a different story. Because the way they write, you can't read the prescription. Yeah, but anyway, that's a different subject altogether. But whichever profession you are in, professional writing, whether you are a job seeker, you need to write a resume beautifully. If you are in a position where you are communicating with your colleagues or with your bosses or with clients, you need to be very clear and concise in your communication, with a call to action at the end.
Yes.
Very important. Professional writing is very, very important for career success. So I would put that far above personal writing. But if you are a creative person by nature, if you think out of the box, if you have got a vivid imagination, yes, personal writing is also a very important thing. And you should take it up some point of your life.
So earlier you had said this, that you should read and write in different, like if possible, you should read and write and try to learn different languages, and you can understand the culture or you expand your horizon. Does it really opens any possible path for an individual?
I didn't get the second part of your question. I mean,
if you're open to reading and writing in different multiple languages, does it have any effect or does it open any new paths for a person in his professional life?
I'm not sure about writing in different languages because that's not so easy. There are very few authors who can write in multiple languages as well as they write in their original language. But reading in multiple languages is very important because, as I said, you see, language is a part of culture.
Yes.
In fact, it's language that breeds culture.
Yes.
So if you are able to read in different languages, you're able to dive into different cultures.
Yes.
You expand your horizon.
Exactly.
So when you start to write, whether it's creative writing, whether it's personal writing or whether it's for professional, your cultural diversity mindset is always expanded. And therefore, when you write, you're able to empathize with different cultures, think how they would act in that situation, and then put it on paper. To that extent, definitely your horizons and your personal growth is much more than where if you were to read in one language. As far as writing in different languages is concerned, it's a little difficult because it's very important. One thing is very important. The language in which you think is the language in which you should write. Like for instance, if you think in Kannada, write in Kannada. You can't think in English and write in Kannada.
Okay.
Or think in Kannada and write in English. There's no sync.
Okay.
So if you are going to write something in Kannada, please think in Kannada. Okay. If you are going to write something in English or Konkani, please think in that language. Because it's the language that will give you that ecosystem.
Okay. So I have a difficulty in, my mother tongue is Konkani and I think in Konkani. But I'm not able to write in Konkani at all. Like, it is very difficult. So in that case, how would writing help? Or as you said to the previous
point. No, it doesn't work like that. It's not that you are not you're finding it difficult to write in Konkani, because you should read enough in Konkani.
Okay.
You have to expand your vocabulary. In fact, I want to come to it later in the program, the skills that you have and the how you can develop your writing skills. I'll come to that a little later. But basically, you need to read a lot in the language in which you want to write.
Okay.
You have to understand that vocabulary and then try and put it on paper. It's not that you can't.
Okay.
And the fact that you're going to think in Konkani and write in English, personally, I think it's very difficult. I mean, it won't come out. It won't come out the way you think it should.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So that's the thing. At least that's what I feel.
So all these skills that we talked earlier, like writing, reading, how does it shape a leader? Like, what edge does he have over the others when he's good over writing and reading?
More than oratory can draw the crowds.
Yes, definitely. Good examples are there.
Obviously. But when you want to influence their thoughts, you need to write. I can give you several examples of revolutions that have been spawned by authors.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure I shouldn't mention all these things, but Voltaire, Rousseau, they're all French authors who sparked the French Revolution.
Yes.
One of the reasons why some of the what they call the urban accents are in jail,
mm-hmm.
is because of what they wrote, not because of what they said.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. See, the fact of the matter is that when you put your thoughts on paper concisely, in a very engaging way, in a very persuasive way, then you tend to build up an audience that thinks the way you do. It's much, it may be a slower process than oratory, but I think it's a more permanent process. It's a more influential process. And that is why social media, you will find, is able to influence people, because it's in writing. It's not oral.
Okay.
It's in writing. So people have time to reflect on it, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's fake or that's not the question. The question is that they're able to influence people because it's in writing. So a leader, if he wants to influence people, he needs to be constantly writing about his thoughts. A person who writes constantly about his thoughts is able to influence people, because with the literacy rate going rapidly, I think everybody reads, whether it's in one language or the other. Mm-hmm. Everybody reads. So if you are able to put your thoughts on paper and have them gradually circulated widely, automatically you will bring people to your way of thinking. And that's the sign of a good leader.
So if, yeah, you have to say. Okay, so what kinds of writing are there? Like, what are the different types of writing? How can writing be classified into each category? See,
so one thing is you're writing to persuade.
Yes.
Then definitely. you're writing to explain something. I don't know whether you read the Indian Express or something like that. I don't buy any newspaper, but I read everything on the mobile. And in the Indian Express is what it's called the explainer. It explains various policies, laws, concepts, everything. It's called the Indian Express explainer. Very nicely written. So there's writing to persuade, writing to explain, and then writing to convey real or imagined experiences. Of course, writing to convey real experiences is, of course, non-fiction, and imagined experiences is fiction. Basically, when you write to persuade, you're making an argument. You're providing a concept and an argument, a theory for people to accept or reject. When you write to explain, you're informing, you're educating. And when you are doing the last one, that is the conveying real or imagined experiences, it's a narrative experience, narrative way of writing. Am I audible? I think...
Yes, you're audible.
Okay. Now, the last portion, the imagined experiences, is basically when you write it in narrative style, it is creative writing. And creative writing is, of course, novels, short stories, plays, poetry, TV show scripts, movie scripts, songs, even lyrics and speeches, like we write for Toastmasters. So that's all creative writing, because obviously you're only narrating a part of the facts and then building on that. So that's creative writing. So creative writing is an important element in anybody's life, but more important, I think, will be professional writing, because 90% of our time between the ages of 21 and maybe 60 is your professional life, and writing is a big part of it.
I'll come to the creative writing in very short time, but before that, is there any trend in writing? Like, is writing the same over the years, or is it changing over the years?
I think it is changing, because I think the professional writing has also changed from, we used to write those letters before.
Yeah, I remember.
Have you posted? I don't know what I shouldn't ask you, but have you posted a letter?
No, I haven't. But I've written letters to some other people, but haven't posted, like, or the telegrams. I haven't used it.
Yeah, we used to have the telegram where you had to be very precise.
Very precise, very short. Yes.
Yes. And we had those what is called pen pals. In the olden days, there was no social media, WhatsApp and stuff like that. So there was what is called a concept called pen pal. Like it used to come in the papers and all that. List of people who'd like to have a pen pal. Then these are my interests. If you are also having the same interest, please do write to me. So then you build up a friendship with that person. But it's all by letters. You post them and then you wait for the letters in return.
Yeah.
But now it's all email and WhatsApp. Now, if you have noticed WhatsApp as compared to email, WhatsApp is a very brief way of writing. You spell Y-O-U as you.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think there are laugh out loud, LOL, and LOL. So many other things are there. Yeah, ROFL is also there. I really don't know why you have to roll on the floor. But anyway, it's very different from writing an email, which is more akin to writing a letter which you used to write before, but it has progressed to an email. And from email, we have progressed to WhatsApp, which is more casual and very brief. And let's say concise. Communication front, the types of communication that have changed, that have evolved. As far as the creative writing is concerned, you have moved from into realistic writing. Realistic writing means contemporary life. You don't really write about, you're not imagining things. but you're bringing contemporary life into your novels. I think that is the way it's moving, as far as I can see. I'm no expert on the subject, but since I do read quite a bit, this is what I have a feeling. But the type of communications have changed, as it is from written to electronic, and therefore how you write is also changing. People have no time. They have time, but they have no interest or inclination to read in detail. So they want everything short and sweet. If you look at the Times of India, many years ago, it used to be a thick paper, and on a Sunday it is really thick. Literally, you can sit from 7 in the morning till 12 in the afternoon, and I used to do that, reading the paper. If you buy the Times of India today, mm-hmm. what do you get to read? You get a big fat headline and nothing else underneath, right? It's like when you wear a nice shirt and a nice pant when you don't have underwear. You remove the shirt and pant and you don't have your underwear.
So now there are newses which give you news within 60 words, I feel.
Yes.
Under 1 minute. That is like, it is so misleading also sometimes.
Yeah, that's okay. I have no issues with that. The issue is that people don't get a chance to read.
Yeah.
And when they don't get a chance to read, they can only write in 60 words.
So what is creative writing? You mentioned it earlier. And what is creative writing?
Creative writing is actually imagining stuff and putting it on paper. What shall I say? If I ask you to describe a brick, or you the uses of a brick, let's say if I ask you, you know, the usual brick, the first thing that comes to your mind is construction, right?
Yeah.
But there are so many other uses to a brick. For instance, let me just give you an example. Two people were walking on the road and they were having an argument. And as they were walking on the left side, A saw a brick. He picked it up and smashed B's head out of the blue. Now, he actually saw the brick. He didn't think of construction. He thought of use it as a weapon.
Yes.
So creative writing is basically a description of something in a very imaginative way, or a narration of something that is a fantasy, or that you imagine will happen or has happened. The Harry Potter series is a very prime example. It's one of the biggest selling series in the world, in fact. And if you look at the, some of you can see the, I think it's on Netflix, I'm not sure, J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
Her life story is there. Very interesting, actually. And she had a passion to write and imagine things right from childhood. As a child, she used to imagine things. And she used to always write and keep it inside her locker. Never used to show it to anybody. And then somebody saw it, I can't remember who it was, and told her that she must try writing, giving it a publication. And then she did that, and still she was rejected by nearly 10 publishers. Then Bloomsbury picked it up and it became one of the biggest selling series in the world, and she became a multi-billionaire.
Mm.
So she was an ordinary person like you and me. But she had a very active imagination. And she put that imagination onto paper and people lapped it up. So that's the way it is.
So where does where do we start from? Like, if I don't have any I don't have any experience of creative writing, where do I start from? And practice?
I'll give you a few skills if you really want to practice creative writing. To be frank, before I do that, I write a weekly column for News Karnataka, because I'm also a director there, so I do write. And so since I'm a director there, perhaps they publish it. But otherwise also, I do like to write. I always like to write, and I write a weekly column. But to be very frank, until the time I start my weekly column, I really don't know what I'm going to write about. I pick some subject out of the blue. And then I do a little research, not that I don't. But the rest of it, if you have got a chance to read it, is pure imagination and connecting the dots. This is the way you need to do it. I have no idea how it will end when I start. And I write the title only after I finish the story or the article. But coming back to developing your creative skills is a very, I'll give you a few simple creative exercises, or anybody who wants to listen to this can try it. Let's say you describe, your first exercise would be to describe your day in a creative way, or any activity in your day in a creative way. The first one would be, say, let's say you are brushing your teeth in the morning. Take out a piece of paper and write in a very creative way how you brushed your teeth. Let it last the full page. The first time it will be very difficult. After all, what is there in brushing the teeth? You can start from squeezing the toothpaste tube. How did you squeeze the tube? So there are many ways of doing it, but you start doing that and you'll slowly develop that sort of skill. Now, the second one is description. Can you describe yourself, Larson, to anybody?
In a creative way?
Yes.
Oh.
You want to try? You can try.
I take some time, I feel.
Okay. So what you need to do is really take out a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Now, there are two parts to your personality. One is your physical characteristics. So when you describe yourself physically, the other person has to get a picture of you. Right? The other thing is the character. You must try and develop a description of your character. If you can describe your character so that other people, within two or three paragraphs, people can get a picture of you. What kind of a person you are. That's how you actually start writing creatively. Very important is the third part, editing. Now take out something that you wrote, maybe a resume, maybe a letter to a friend. Start to edit it. See if you can paraphrase it, see if you can reduce it. See if you can correct the grammar, punctuation. This is the third part. Editing is a very, see, grammar, punctuation and spelling are very important. And today you have lots of facilities which we didn't have. In those days, I still remember I used to write and then type it on that old typewriter. My father had one typewriter. Mm-hmm. I should take it out, put the paper with the carbon, type it out. And if you have make a mistake, then you have to just put a strike on that and write it below that. Anyway, those were the days. Things have evolved since then. You have Grammarly, you have the editor on MS Word, you have so many facilities today. You really don't have to struggle so much. But the sad part is that because you don't have to struggle so much and because it comes easy, you don't learn. That's the sad part. Anyway, now, when we are talking, Larson, you talk when you talk, you have your own voice and the way you say it. I have my own voice and the way I say it. But when you're writing, each character will have a voice,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you have read a book, you'll know that different characters, or if you've seen a movie, even if you see a movie, it's written, the script is written by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
How the character emotes, mm-hmm. how the character says anything, what he says, and what you'll notice is that the character will say something consistently in a particular way. That is character building in a particular voice. So you could try that. So when you build a character, you can try that. Pick four different emotional states, like for instance, anger, sadness, happiness, and excitement. And then how does the character say it in that excited way or in that with anger, try doing that. I'm sure you'll pick it up gradually. Now it requires a little bit of effort, but and a little bit of imagination, a little bit of feeling, but it's possible. And the next important thing is describing a scene. Let's say you go to a hill station, whether it is the Chamundi Hills or wherever. Take out a piece of paper, sit down there, take out a piece of paper, describe the scene around you. It's one of the ways of learning creative writing. And next, another one is dialogue. It's very difficult to write dialogue. So you need to have the character and you need to have what he's going to say. I don't remember, there was a movie, Sir Laurence Olivier. I think he was a very good actor. I can't remember the name of the movie. It's just two characters in one room throughout the movie.
Okay.
And the entire movie is on based on dialogue between two people. And the emotions, the anger, the sadness, everything. So basically, let's say you take a paragraph that is described a scene between two or three people, and then try to make the same scene through dialogue. Try it out. You take a scene which is descriptive in nature. I can't give you a ready example, but that's what you could do. Take a scene with descriptive in nature, where three or four people are involved, and then make the same scene understood to another through dialogue. It is a very good way of building creative talent, especially dialogue writing, which is very important for creative writing and character building. Very important. Characters and dialogues are very important in creative writing. Now, there is another way of actually learning to write. All of you have listened to in school you might have had nursery rhymes, you might have had fairy tales.
Yes.
You have the Panchatantra. You have so many fairy tales and other things. Take one story and try to write it in a different way. The same characters, but in a different way. Definitely, you will start to learn to improve your creative writing. And when you write creatively, the theme has to be consistent through. You start with a theme, you end with that theme. It's like writing a speech. I'm sure you have written many speeches for Toastmasters. You can't start with something and end up somewhere.
Yes.
The theme has to be consistent right through. So I think I gave it you 6 or 7 exercises, which I'm sure if you use and do it consistently, you will pick up creative writing. Now, you may not be as good as somebody else, or A is not as good as B. That's a natural talent. It's like singing, like music. Some people have it, some people don't. You can practice it and you can be as good at it as somebody else, but may not be the greatest. That's good enough. That's fine. Yeah.
So, in short, if any of the viewers who want to take writing as their profession, what would you give? What is your suggestion to them in very brief?
If you want to take writing as a suggestion, I mean, as a profession, just keep writing. Don't worry whether people read or not. You have several options available to you today. You have the Wattpad, you have the WordPress blogs, you have the Google Blogspots. Plenty of blog systems available. You can build your own website for free. And keep writing, put your thoughts on paper there. I mean, on paper means at least on the screen there. You keep writing about different subjects or whatever subject interests you. Keep improving. Your previous article had grammar mistakes, punctuation mistakes, correct them this time. Keep writing. Whatever it is, keep writing. You really don't have to struggle like we used to do in the past, where we had to take a paper, we had to write down, we had to type it out, and then nobody will read it. Otherwise, you type it and where do you keep it? Today, you can put it out there into the world. Somebody will read it. So, if you really want to make a career writing, of course, now somebody might pick it up, somebody may not pick it up, that we don't know. Somebody might read it, somebody may not read it, somebody may give feedback, somebody may not give feedback. And you may be just one among the many people who write. That's fine, but you get some satisfaction from it. Now, you, if you want to earn from that and make that as your profession, that's a little, it's a little difficult. But unless you keep writing and doing what you're good at, what you think you're good at, there's no chance that you become a professional and earn from it. So you start doing it, and somewhere along the line, like J.K. Rowling, perhaps you might get picked up and might become a hero internationally.
Yeah, with that we come to an end. But before ending, we have last segment, that is the rapid fire. I will be asking the questions to Brian Fernandez. In a word or a sentence, you can answer that. So here goes the first question. Is writing or reading help leader grow?
Both help leaders grow.
Yeah, both. Reading and writing. Does it help both leader help.
Yes, both help leaders grow because it widens their horizons and brings more followers to their fold.
So which is your favorite novel?
I've read many novels, but I still love James Hadley Chase for his style of writing.
And
if you get a chance, please do read.
Yeah, sure. And which is the one book that you suggest to others? I know there are many books, but among them, which is the one book you suggest others to read in their first go?
If you want extremely good language, I'm talking about English non-fiction. I mean, fiction. I don't read much of non-fiction because we are tired of reading the news every day. So I prefer to read fiction. And if you are interested in very good language, at the same time suspense and that kind of genre, I would suggest you read Robert Ludlum. He is no longer alive, or Jeffrey Archer. The language is exceptional, and the build-up is fantastic, and you really be glued to the book until the end of it. The Harry Potter series is also very good, but then you must be really imaginative to understand it and to enjoy it.
So on the scale of 1 to 10, how much would you rate a person to write? Like, what is your rating that a person should start to write?
I think everybody has to write, because if you're going to build it, unless you're a carpenter or a janitor who also needs to write because they may have to quote for their services and maybe apply for a job. I think professionally, everybody needs to know to write in whichever language they're good at. I mean, or they are originally good at, they need to learn to write and practice writing every day, whether it's on the email or whether it's in the form of an article or anything else. Because if you're not able to write, then maybe you may not be able to lead a successful professional life.
Ken, this is very skeptical that I was very imagining, like I was thinking about it. Now everything is taken over by the digital. Now, can the digital world take over the writing also? Or is it complementary?
I think the audio to text is already there.
Yeah, audio to text is there.
Already there. So the thing is, it doesn't reflect exactly what you're trying to say. Sometimes it gives you a different text from whatever you say. It's not that advanced yet. But the digital world is expanding your horizons, because you can reach the world with your writing, and you really have to write. I mean, you can dictate to a machine, but when it comes to the convert, after the text is converted, you need to review it, you need to edit it, you need to correct it, and see whether it's actually written what you said. So ultimately, you might lose your handwriting skills, and that's a sad thing. Yes. Although some of our schools are still insisting on it. Many of the children nowadays, by the time they are in the third or fourth standard, they are already, you know, with their fingers, they are excellent. I'm not sure you have not gone through it, but if you have gone through it, in the olden days, we had these typing classes. Mm-hmm. And you have to use all your fingers. So I'm also comfortable using all my fingers on the keyboard. But nowadays, if I see the children, they use their index finger for all the keys. That's not the right way. So the typing classes that we had, I think everybody should go through, because as long as we have keyboards, that's very good, because it's very fast. You really can do it without even looking at the keyboard. Anyway, so they are losing their handwriting skills, and digital will take over the written word, and everything will be stored electronically and in the cloud. That's a good thing, because you can reach a wider range of people, and whatever you write will be stored for posterity. It's not going to go away anyway. So it's not like keeping your papers in the attic. So in way, it is extremely good, but there are downsides to it. Like, as I said, people don't read that much. They don't. They just want the headline, and they're losing their skill of writing. These are the downsides, but the upsides are much, much more.
So last question: who is your favorite Indian author, and who is also your favorite foreign author? Two questions in one.
Now, foreign author, I already mentioned is Robert Rudlum and James Hadley Chase. That's from the fiction. I've read a lot of Stephen Covey. He's also very good, and the monk who sold the Ferrari. That Robin Sharma.
Robin Sharma.
I've not read much of non-fiction beyond that. As far as the Indian authors go, I read the book by Arvind Adiga. Mm-hmm. Also from
the White Tiger.
He's a White Tiger. I saw the movie also, and it's extremely well written. I mean, it reflects the cultural milieu very extremely well. There are authors like Amitav Ghosh and Arundhati Roy and all, but Arundhati Roy is, you know, a little on the heavier side. He's more intellectual. Light reading, I think Amitav Ghosh is there, Vikram Seth is there. They're good. So, and a lot of authors in India are writing in English nowadays. A lot of them.
So with that, we come to an end of the podcast, of second episode of the podcast. And all that time we have spent together here discussing about various type of writing and the skills that we need to write, and also for that beautiful poem that you have said. I would like to extend a heartfelt thanks to Mr. Brian Fernandez for spending his quality time with us. Thank you so much, Brian.
Welcome, Lassen. Always a pleasure.
Yes. With that, we end and close the second episode of The Inspirator. For more on, log on to YouTube or Spotify channel of The Inspiron Toastmasters Club. Thank you so much. Have a well satisfied ride. And start writing. That's how you start. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, we are. Bye.